Hello, Next Nutcases. This is Nukechess, and I've got another Nutty Bites Dinner and a Movie for the Dog Days of Podcasting. And today, I am going to give you a spoiler-free review of the Netflix original series, Sense8. And while I'm doing that, I am assembling a salad. That's actually going to be the food that pairs with this, and I'll explain it later. But I was listening to NCAF's talk about cheap food and how sometimes food can get in the way, and, you know, especially when you are a bit of a foodie like he and I are, you know, you really enjoy food, you enjoy the experience of food, you know, and it's kind of hard, especially when you're dealing with financial issues. You know, food can be an expense that is difficult to get around, and you still want it to be enjoyable. So I'm going to talk a little bit about food before I get into my review. So, and I want to talk just a couple of cheap staples. So a little background. There have been times in my life that I was homeless. I still managed to have a roof over my head because I have the privilege of, I have class privilege and I have education privilege and all of these other things that when I no longer had a home or money for a home, I was able to do house sitting for people, and I was able to get a roof over my head. And I believe at one point I had maybe 3 days where in between apartments that wasn't possible. I think that actually happened to me twice, and I had family members that let me sleep on their couch. So, you know, I was never on the street, but I was definitely homeless. I was homeless for not a full year, but a good part of a year. I was unemployed after getting laid off due to working in the nonprofit sector, in a nonprofit that had nothing to do with 9/11. And so they didn't generate as much money shortly after 9/11 because in New York, because people were only donating to 9/11 related charities, and, you know, firemen and cops and all those other things. And so many of the nonprofits in the area, ours dealt with people with developmental disabilities, they had to really restructure in how they did everything. So so that was, you know, how I got to where I was, through no fault of my own, just a twist of fate, as they would call it. And so I have a couple of skills on how to deal with not having money. And I always expected, I've many times in my life expected not to have money to get food. So I always keep a pretty well-stocked pantry. I look for certain canned goods and keep them when they're on sale, and I put them in the back of the cupboard just for those dire weeks or whatever. But for that 1 year, it was more than just dire straits and so forth. And for the time that I was unemployed and homeless, it was very tricky. Getting yourself invited to people's houses is a good skill, but not something you can do all the time. So my big staples were pasta with sauce, and I could make about 5 to 6 meals for about $2. You get the really cheap pasta, and you buy crushed tomatoes in the can, and you try and get them when they're on sale. Generally, you can get those for under $1 or 99 cents, and you can get pasta, the cheap stuff, for like 75 cents to $1. And then you use your spices, and you cook up the red sauce, and then you put it over your pasta, and there you go, you've got pasta. If you can afford to put meat in that, sure, that's great. Or if you can get like leftovers from one of those houses that you've, somehow gotten an invitation, you know, anybody. You get really good at, you know, when you offer to clean up and you start cleaning up and you say, well, what do you want me to do with this? And it's like, oh, nobody in this house eats leftovers. Oh, they don't? you have a plastic bag? I'll take it. And you take stuff home. And you can always add that in. Another thing is rice. Rice is very, very cheap. And a rice cooker makes things very easy. Luckily, I had one. But the one I have, I think I spent $12 on it. And you can get rice about $1 a pound. And if you buy it in bulk, you get it for more. So I get a 10-pound bag for about $10. If I were buying a smaller bag, it'd be probably $3 or $4. So buying in bulk, definitely. And you can cook up your rice. And then you can put beans on top of that. And, you know, my favorite is black beans. But refried beans are also really good. And those are another canned item that you can get for like a dollar. But if you want to save even more money, then you get the dried beans, you soak them overnight, and then you put them in the pressure cooker the next day to rehydrate them. And you can definitely do something there. And you add all sorts of spices to that, and it's delicious. You can fry that rice up with some of those refried beans, or you can make a beans and rice kind of a dish. You can, there's so many different ways that you can make it. Sometimes I would take, like I had in that place I was house sitting, they had this really fancy white balsamic vinegar. So I put that over the black beans. Oh my God, it was so good. So there are ways that you can enjoy it. And Mark, he pointed out many, many ways that he's able to make things go. I think that my biggest splurge is, you know, at the time I couldn't afford soda, which I may have explained that I am a soda addict and it's how I self-medicate my ADD. So I was just drinking tea and, you know, that might be a little expensive, but it was cheaper than soda. And I wasn't drinking the best tea, unfortunately, at the time. Now, I spend about probably $7 to $8 a month on loose leaf tea. And I drink a lot of it. I drink more of that than I do soda these days. Although I really cut down my soda consumption with the SodaStream, but that's one of those initial investment things. But yeah, so I mean, there are ways to do it and it stinks, but if you're ever finding yourself in a bind, there's some really good things that you can eat and you don't have to skip out on the protein just because you can't afford meat. So that's pretty good. And as Mark said, he's able to get ground pork for pretty cheap. I think that might have something to do with his area, though, but I don't know. So I'm going to talk about the movie now, Sense8. So Sense8 is a show that was written, it's a collaborative production by the Wachowski siblings and JMS Straczynski. J. Michael Straczynski, JMS, the creator and writer of Babylon 5. And sorry for these plastic noises. I am making the salad. So basically what it is, and this is the premise, there are these clusters of 8 people all over the world. And when a cluster gets activated, these 8 people can have this sort of telepathic connection. And what you're doing is you're following a cluster as they discover these abilities. And I don't want to give away too much, but it's amazing. It's neat in many senses. One of the things that I really enjoy is that they played with the medium. They experimented with the medium. And they wrote it into acts, okay? So the entire season, first season, is in multiple acts. And I think there's 12 episodes, so it's 3 acts maybe, something like that. Each 4 episodes are an act. So you've got about 4 hours in an act. And it's designed for binge watching. They wanted to create something where people who are binge watching, they're catering to that experience. They don't have to wait a week in between. So we want to really showcase what binge watching can be like. And I thought that was really cool. And it worked. I will say, that it took about 4 episodes for me to decide if I liked it or not. But I kept giving it the chance because I really like Babylon 5. I really like Babylon 5. And I can thank Aaron Makeham for getting me into that. So because I had the trust, I trusted in JMS, I knew to give it a better shot, you know, more of a shot than I would have for some other things. That's not big enough. I'm trying to find another bowl to put on top of my salad so I can toss it. But that one was just not big enough, so. The other thing that's really interesting about this is it really is an international experience. Because the characters, oh, there we go, that's good. The characters are all over the world. And they don't all speak English. And they don't just dub into English when you realize where you are. No. You have to read subtitles, which I love. I know it can be more difficult for certain things. Like, I know if you're blind, that's going to be a problem. Or if you have some vision problems, that's going to be a problem. But I think that they've got... Oh, shoot. So it's truly international in that sense. Sorry. I hope that wasn't a bunch of dead space. And I really, really enjoyed it. I think it's worth going into and watching. It's very diverse when it comes to its cast with gender, sexuality, culturalism, everything. And everybody has a different cultural standard. So nobody has the same idea of how things are supposed to be. And you see that that really does play a part. And how these people get to know each other is really fascinating. So check it out. Enjoy. I highly recommend it. Give it at least 4 episodes. It's worth it. And I'm going to mix that with this salad that I'm having. It is called a 7 Superfood Salad. I don't get into the whole superfood things. It's really just marketing. But I do enjoy this salad. And I added goat cheese to it, making it an 8 superfood salad. So that goes with Sense8. That's right. We've got kale and cranberries and nuts and all sorts of crazy things in here. There you go. Sense8 and 8 superfood salad. Enjoy.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.